In some ways, it feels like the week is going slowly. I think just because of the weekend I had where there wasn't really any downtime. But man, I look up and it's already the middle show of the work week. That's what football does. That's what the NFL season does, because the weekend starts on Thursday. And I know it does for college football as well. But your weekend, meaning the football weekend, not our weekend as in, yay, we're off work. The weekend starts for the NFL on Thursday and then continues through Monday. By the time you kind of crawl out from underneath everything and get caught up, well, it's Tuesday. And then right into the hump show with, 36 hours before we're into week number two. So, yeah, it goes fast and furious during football season. But, yeah, here we look up, and it's already the middle show of the work week. It's what we call the hump show. And certainly our last show was one that was atypical in that it was devoted, not entirely, but the majority of it was devoted to the Tyreek Hill body cam video and the reaction to it, mine as well as yours, and really the fallout from that particular incident. And there is more to come. Drew Rosenhaus, the agent for Tyreek Hill, has spoken out and on behalf of his client has called for action against the officers that were involved. So you'll hear from him. But I did see a lot of your feedback on both of our social media sites. Some of you, I really appreciate that you were willing to respond thoughtfully and with some reason. Of course, there is plenty of emotion on both sides of this thing. If you've missed our new podcast link, so our podcast has migrated pretty much the way that everything in sports media is migrating these days. Our podcast migrated to a new server, a new host, if you will. And so for that reason, we've been trying to share the link. And producer Pete's going to do it on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. And then I usually will share again myself at some other point during the day. If you're wondering where to find it, well, it's on my account now at A-Law Radio. And you can just look for my photo. I don't generally add a photo, but I did in this particular case just so I could spotlight it and direct you to it. It's also on our Facebook page where I try to sometimes come up with photos that go along with the particular hot topics, though in this particular case, I'm trying to think, what did I use? I don't even remember what I used. You'll have to go check it out. Either way, I did post the link on both Twix and Facebook, so it's there, and you can save it or subscribe so that you know where you can find our podcast now on a regular basis. And we're trying to get back into more of a routine when it comes to using our social, just because I was out of it as in terms of routine and as a regular type of posting during the summertime when we didn't have a producer. But now we have a producer.
Hi.
And his name is Pete.
Hi.
And this will be his second opportunity to ask Amy anything.
All
but
right.
He's really the surrogate because you all have the questions. Unless Pete wants to pull a fast one, I know that there are peeps in the past who've actually asked their own questions and not the ones that were posed. This goes back maybe a few years, and one of the guys who would ask the questions would tell me, I didn't really like any of those, so I'm asking you some of my own. Here, what I really want to know is, when are we going to do Chubby Bunny again? Because it's been a couple years. Actually, we're a year and a half removed from the most recent Chubby Bunny World Championship for a lot of reasons, none of which are interesting or exciting, I don't think. But now it's a new era and a new iteration of management here at Ask at After Hours. Got all new management at After Hours. So I need to know when we might be able to do a new Chubby Bunny World Championship. But right on the heels of when would be the who. That's the hard part. Is it's become challenging because there are not as many bodies in the building when our show is on the air. It used to be that there were a lot more people here, physically here. But because of cuts and a pandemic that revealed to people how much more convenient it is not to go to an office. It's hard to actually get people in the building.
Yeah, it's a challenge, but a challenge we are willing to accept,
and we will find a
date for it. I have a couple of thoughts, but we'll discuss off air and bring it on the air.
Mm. Okay, so also in addition to finding a time and finding willing competitors for the Chubby Bunny World Championship, we also need to figure out when we're going to do our first Hall of Fame induction in your tenure here as producer, because we've done a lot of them, and it's my favorite feature that we do here on the show, but it's been a while. It's been, gosh, maybe 6 months. I'm not even sure if we've probably done one in 2024, but not one in a long time. Yeah, and we do have candidates in our folder. I've been telling even the fill-in producer, save that audio so that we can use it for a future Hall of Flame induction. So we need to do that for sure. So there's a lot of ideas and brainstorming that we've been doing.
It's all brewing.
It's just hard to have any free time during the football week. That's the challenge, is even when there are no actual games, well, there are still guests to book and audio to find and reaction to what happened in the last weekend and then moving forward to the next weekend. So guess what is on TBS right now?
I'm going to say The Big Bang Theory.
Actually, probably would be if not for the passing of James Earl Jones. They just started airing Field of Dreams.
All right.
Yeah. So it's the field that they used in the movie that has become, well, it's been a tourist destination for decades, ever since the movie. But in addition to that, because of MLB hosting a couple of games there, it's even more popular, to the point where, and I don't know exactly how many years it's shut down, but they're doing construction and they're giving the place a facelift so that they can add the different conveniences for more fans to be able to be there. But yeah, right now, Ray and his daughter are watching the old timers play a game on the field. They've just come out of the cornfield.
That's a great thing to wake up to. A great thing to first see on your television.
Mm. If you're waking up at this hour, well, I pity you. But I know we do have people who are working overnight, who are driving overnight, or who at this hour are getting prepared for their own work days, work shifts. We've got people who walk their dogs or go to the gym or have a longer commute. And then, of course, we have those of you who are on the West Coast or in Alaska and Hawaii who you're still awake. You're night owls like we are, or I am. I guess I can't speak for producer Pete. What would your body clock direct you? When would your body clock direct you to sleep if you had no job and let's say you're off for a month? Oh, like Jay, he's just kind of hanging out for the last couple months, has no job. So let's say you had no job and you were just doing your thing with the family. At what point would you typically get tired and go to sleep if there were no limits on that or bumpers?
Well, if it was a full day of family activity, probably 6 o'clock.
Really? 6 o'clock in the evening, you would go to bed?
No, I wouldn't go to bed. I'd be tired by then. I could go to bed then.
Wow.
But probably like 9 or 10.
All right.
It, take everything out. No work or anything.
So you're not a night owl then?
I get up during the night.
That's not the same thing.
I get up during the night, see how everything's going.
Wander around. I get up and wander around.
Watch some infomercials, that type of thing.
Oh, Lordy. That means you're an insomniac, not a night owl.
Or just crazy. That could be both.
We have a lot of people who listen to the show because they can't sleep. In fact, I have one family member who is a cousin, and she lives in Ohio in the Youngstown area, which is where my mom's whole side of the family is from. And she has a radio by her bed, and she frequently wakes up. She turns on the radio. She listens. It's set right to the affiliate that carries our show. she listens until she falls asleep again. So yeah, she'll send me text messages and let me know she heard this or that, or she'll post on one of my socials, which is kind of funny. I don't know why she just doesn't text me, but yeah, so she does listen. She'll listen periodically in those stretches where she can't sleep. So I know that's part of the issue for a lot of people, but yeah, that's the cool thing about working this stretch and these hours is that you have people from all walks of life. And right now people on their Tuesday, but other people who've already launched into their Wednesday. And it's great. It's great because we get to keep you company regardless of what you're doing.
I'll say this. It feels like in the week and a half I've done this, it feels like
the week and a half. I love it.
Blend. It feels like one big day the whole week.
Oh, okay. So for each week, it feels like it's a day.
It's a day.
Interesting.
I don't know. It's just a weird feeling. But
does that mean you're only taking a nap here or there?
No, I'm getting better with sleep.
Oh, okay.
And better.
Because that's the challenge. If I were left to my own body clock and didn't have a schedule necessarily, I would be sleeping probably 2 to 10 if I could. Now, that's minus dog, minus husband, minus job. Minus the challenges of constantly flipping my schedule. Yeah, if I could, just left to my own devices, I would sleep 2 to 10. Because I'm a night owl. I like to stay up late and read or whatever. And I generally would end up falling asleep around 2 o'clock in the morning.
I used to be a night owl. I will say that. I used to be a night owl when I was in college, high school, that type of thing.
Mm. Yeah, that changes when you get older.
Responsibility.
It's so interesting to see a young Kevin Costner, but even more so as the movie rolls on, we'll get to see a younger James Earl Jones. We didn't have as much time to devote to some of his more iconic movie scenes and lines on our last show, but we're going to try to bring some of those back on this edition of the show because, well, we're both big fans, and he played a role, pivotal role in so many memorable films, those that are forever part of our pop culture history and lore, and his voice, unforgettable, Jealous of the Pipes. And so we'll remember him in a unique way with his own material at A-Law Radio. And then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, there is a spot. Look for the bright orange box with the Ask Amy thought bubble, and you can send your questions to either of those sites for Ask Amy Anything, which is in the third hour of the show. Funny stuff. Well, I take that back. It's not funny necessarily to anyone but me to hear Bill Belichick serving as an analyst when for so many years he wanted nothing to do with giving the media any material whatsoever. But now that he's getting paid to talk, now it's a completely different scenario. So he's part of Let's Go, which used to be Tom Brady's podcast. I actually don't have the answer to this question, but I am wondering if Brady gave up the podcast because he wanted to, or he gave up the podcast because it was too much work in addition to his, I kind of get the feeling that he could do the podcast whenever he wanted. They drop it on Mondays. They do the show on Mondays and it's available via podcast right after. He could do it anytime. If you're Tom Brady and people want to hear what you have to say, you don't have to stick to a Monday schedule if you don't want to. Or he just decided he didn't want to do it anymore. Or this is where the question came in. Did Fox say to him, we get your analysis exclusively here on the network. We don't want you putting a podcast out there where you're sharing your analysis and your insights in another place. We want the audience to have to get it from us on Fox Sundays. Does that make sense?
I think it's both. I think Fox probably wanted his exclusivity. And I think for Tom Brady, he wanted to go all in on the broadcasting, the color analyst part of his job. And he wanted to really get focused on that. And I think he probably stepped away a little bit.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to hear how he develops. I know he's been widely and roundly criticized for his first appearance on Fox, which I think is ridiculous. Give the man at least, I don't know, 6 months, maybe one season if you're being really generous. He's been doing something else for the majority of his life, and now he's trying to figure out how to be a competent and entertaining and comfortable broadcaster. That's not something that I could do in my first year. You wouldn't believe what my talk shows sounded like going back 20 years. They were nothing like what I do now. It took me a decade plus to be able to develop my style and my voice. And really, that comes with practice. You can have ideas about how you'd like to sound and what type of personality and what type of pace and, you know, just the attitude and the approach that you want to have as a broadcaster. Yeah, for sure. But it's one thing to have the ideas in your brain. It's entirely another to be able to walk those things out. And then you're talking about doing that with a partner who you just met in the last couple of months. So I don't think that it's too much to ask that people would withhold their judgment of Tom Brady as a broadcaster. He wasn't a great football player the first day he stepped on the field either. You know, I mean, that had to develop as well. It's just that in the United States and in the world of social media, we are in no way inclined to give people patience and time to develop. And I suppose that's appropriate considering that the sport he covers, the sport he played, also has an incredibly impatient top layer of ownership and general managers and even coaches, though more so the bosses of the coaches and the owners. And so all of a sudden, people out there, you all are acting like David Tepper as a broadcasting critique, right? Tom Brady should be terrific right now, even though he's never done it before. Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to fire him midseason. I'm pretty comfortable in saying that. But maybe let's just give him a little bit of time. So there was my tangent. For those of you who saw the t-shirt, the picture of the t-shirt I posted last week, I frequently go off on a tangent and a scenic route. But to get back to Brady's replacement on Let's Go, it's Bill Belichick. See how that happened? Land the plane. Belichick was talking to Jim Gray about the reactions that he hears and the reactions that people utter after just 1 week of games.
Really, it's about consistency. The seasons aren't determined in September. And, you know, we saw that last year. We saw that from Philadelphia at a great start. We saw it from Dallas that had a great regular season. And both teams were disappointed and eliminated very quickly in the postseason. So, there's a long, long way to go and a lot of time to improve. So I think that the teams just believe in the process, and individually each player gets better and the units get better, that eventually, you know, they'll be more competitive and probably have a better record.
See you soon.
For years, he tried to teach us and train us like Pavlov's dogs that we were on a need-to-know basis. And he was not going to give us more than we needed to know, which in his estimation was about nothing. And now he's just on and on and on and on and on. He likes to talk about football. That we know. He can talk about football until the cows come home. It's just weird to hear him answer questions in such an easy, confident, pleasing, comfortable, laid-back manner without being, what's the word? Cranky, number one.
Curmudgeon.
Acrimonious, number two. Yes, coming across as a grump and a curmudgeon.
I'm a football coach. I'm not a doctor.
I mean, we could go on and give you lines from Bill Belichick for decades.
We don't have time for that.
And it's not that we never saw his sense of humor, but he didn't use it often. He was much more sarcastic or straight-laced and tight-lipped. And now all of a sudden, he's Amy Lawrence. Now all of a sudden, he just talks and talks and talks. It's very strange.
I tried to join Snapface, but I couldn't find it. I decided this was a good place for me to land.
Uh-huh. I am not on InstaFace or Instagram or Insta of any kind.
Hello, InstaFace.
But if you
see you soon.
If you have InstaFace, which is Belichick's version of that social media giant. If you have it, we, of course, would love to hear your reaction to Belichick on InstaFace. It's InstaBelly. It's forget InstaFace. It's an InstaBelly. InstaBellyCheck.
A belly.
Hey, as we head to our first break, here's the question for the Green Bay Packers. What can Malik Willis do? He's been with the team for all of 3 weeks, maybe? So as he fills in for the injured Jordan Love, how will the Packers recalibrate the offense? At the top of next hour, I will ask host and insider Andy Herman of the Packaday podcast, frequent guest here on the show. Green Bay is prepping for week number two. We're pretty sure it's going to be Willis we see out there, even though Love has not officially been ruled out. I'll also get his reaction to the Brazil game, of course, what we saw from the NFC North. That's coming up at 2 a.m. Central Time, 2 a.m. Green Bay time. And it is interesting to think about this injury and how it might impact Green Bay in just these couple of weeks that could end up changing the entire course of that division, especially if Sam Darnold keeps playing lights out. So, yes, let's not overreact to week number one, but at the same time, week number one definitely matters. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, too, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It'll be another 1-2 offering from Kirby. He kicks and fires. Manny swings. Hits it in the air to center field and deep. Rodriguez is back. He will watch. It's going to go. Home run history for Manny Machado. His 164th in a Padre uniform. Now the most prolific home run hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres.
Just to be, honored and be something in the record books of San Diego for the rest of my career and the rest of, my rest of the baseball career. So I'm just grateful to, hit as many as I could and, be an impact on this organization in any way I could.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One Manny Machado after home run number 164 in his career. He is now the Padres all-time home run hitter, which is kind of crazy to think about. That's it? 164? Not that I've ever hit a single home run in the major leagues, but how is it that the franchise of San Diego, the Padres, only have 164 home runs as their leader all time. That's to me a very low number.
They had some guys that could hit home runs too. We had Caminiti. They had a few guys that could hit some home runs, but they're more. But then you have Tony Gwynn, who was more of a contact hitter, more of a average hit for 300, 365, 335 hit for those averages rather than power.
Okay, I'm going to check it out and see. Yeah, Manny Machado, now at 164. Nate Colbert, 163. Wow. Adrian Gonzalez, 161.
I figured he was up there.
Phil Nevin, 156. Dave Winfield,
right,
154. Tony Gwynn, 135. Will Myers, not that long ago.
Wow.
134. Ryan Klesko, 133. Ken Caminiti, 121, but guess who he's tied with? Fernando Tatis. And Tatis had a 3-run blast on Tuesday night.
He might shatter that record by the time his career is over.
Those are the only former or current Padres who are in triple-digit home runs. Next closest is Hunter Renfro with 89, Chase Headley with 87, Benito Santiago with 85. So in other words, they haven't had a lot of great home run hitters in the course of their franchise.
That's remarkable. Mm-hmm. Just those names on that list. None of those names are at the top of your baseball knowledge list of anybody's.
Yeah. I mean, Manny Machado is a good home run hitter.
Right.
But the crazy thing is the Padres are not a young franchise. They've been around since the 60s. Wow. Okay. Maybe that is why they've never won a World Series. Well, maybe not the only reason, but it'd be part of the reason. Oh, James Earl Jones just slammed the door in Kevin Costner's face. He found him and he slammed the door.
I like the live commentary of the movie.
Well, because it's one that I haven't seen in a long time, and I'm sure that TBS is going to be airing a bunch of James Earl Jones movies this week, and this is one of his classics. And yeah, he's angry, he's mad, he's about to slam the door in Kevin Costner's face again. It's terrific. Wasn't he an author? That's what he was in the movie, right? He was an author. And at one point, we got his kind of voice of God effect as well, too. Just really good stuff. Anyway, I'm a little bit distracted by watching it, but I'll get back to the Padres and their radio network. With that call, Jesse Agler on Padres radio and the Manny Machado after the fact. So the Seattle Mariners are the latest victim of the Padres, a team that seems like it doesn't lose ever. The Cubs able to double up the Dodgers, though, in their game. And so San Diego and Arizona, who won, both pick up a game on the Dodgers in the National League West. In NASCAR, it's called the big one, well, especially at the restrictor plate racing, the super speedways, where they're racing so tightly together in places like Daytona and Talladega that fans are always holding their collective breath for the big one, the big wreck that takes out half the field or has that potential. Well, the big one for the Dodgers is a 5-run eighth inning in which they committed 3 errors. So you want to talk about a total car wreck for the Dodgers. Not real typical of them, but the Cubs were able to rally for the tying and go-ahead runs in that eighth inning. And the Dodgers kind of spit the bit, if you will. So Dodgers, and they're still vying for the best record in Major League Baseball, but they do give up a game to their closest competitors in the West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, the Dodgers are competing with the Phillies for the best record in the National League and potentially best record in baseball.
In his second big league season, his 1-0 on the way. And it's swung on, hit in the air, right center field, up the alley. Looking up is DeLuca, and that is it. It's gone. It's a record breaker. Kyle Schwarber with his 14th leadoff home run this season. An all-time major league best. 35th overall, and Schwarber puts the Phillies on the board. It's 1-0.
That's the call on the Phillies radio network. So Schwarber now owns the new MLB leadoff home run mark, and that's his 14th of the season, though he later left the game because of injury. And trying to think, he left because of some elbow pain. I'm trying to think if I've seen anything or heard anything yet about his status. I don't think I have, as I was getting ready for the show. But it considering the home runs and that being the story right now, it's worth noting, even as Aaron Judge has gone 2 weeks without a home run, not that there's anything wrong with him. He's still productive and one of the best hitters in baseball and likely the MVP in the American League. But even as we've been focused on Aaron Judge and his lack of home run production, Bryce Harper hasn't homered in over a month, has not homered since August 9th. And at Citizens Bank Park, his streak goes back to late July. July 27th. And so you can imagine how frustrating it was when it looked like he'd homered in the fifth inning on Tuesday night against the Rays. This is the game against the Rays. But a young fan reaches over the railing out in right field and catches the ball. So he looks like he's got a home run. You can imagine how much he wanted that. It comes off his bat. He probably felt good about it. And just as it's about to end his streak of futility, a little kid reaches over the railing and catches the ball. Oh, dear.
No luck in the world.
We've got to see if we have any reaction from him about this little kid reaching over. Maybe we can find the video, too, and put it up on our show account at A-Law Radio. Instead, he gets a double, which, you know, extra base hit is still an extra base hit. But the weight of that homerless streak, especially when you're Bryce Harper and you're in the spotlight, or when you're Aaron Judge and you're in the spotlight, that's a big deal. So, yes, both Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge. Who homers first, Pete? Bryce Harper or Aaron Judge?
Aaron Judge.
Yeah?
I think Judge is at another level right now than Harper is. I think Harper's in a little bit of a funk that's going to take a little longer to get out of.
All right. So Pete's going with Aaron Judge. The more impressive guess for us would be, when does he homer? Three more days, over under?
You know what? I'm going to say under. I'm going to say under.
All right. So before the end of the week.
Yep.
Okay. We'll see. I think Bryce Harper will be either at the same time or right on his heels. Bryce is fairly determined. And as that ball indicates, he's getting close. He's come close. He had a double instead.
By the way, on Schwarber, hyperextended left elbow, but they said he's okay. They could look at him in the afternoon. And Rob Thompson plans on having him in the lineup on Wednesday.
All right. So there was a victory for the Philadelphia Phillies that puts them now at, I think it's 87 wins, which is most in Major League Baseball. However, there was a bit of a brouhaha that attracted a bunch of attention. Now, I did not see it in real time, but I did see people posting online that this happened. This brouhaha happened right as the presidential debate was starting. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I'm just passing along what I saw on social, which, you know, so social media considers truth to be optional. So just maybe it was people being snarky about the fact that there was a brawl right before there was the start to the debate.
And it involved Castellanos, too, who's involved in many of those moments.
Yeah, he's always right in the middle of the drama, whether it's hitting a home run on an emotional day or something along those lines. Okay, so send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to either of our social media sites at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. We'll get into that brouhaha with the Phillies and the Rays, as well as while we're talking about the National League East, the Atlanta Braves and the Washington Nationals doing battle. My goodness, have we not seen a good Nationals team since they last won the World Series? Well, since they won the World Series in 2019, they have been bottom of the basement since then. Man, it's like the Marlins when they won those two World Series and then instantly just sunk back into oblivion after that.
It brings up the question, would you rather win a title than totally rebuild or be mediocre?
The title. I'd rather the title. Yeah. As much as it sucks that the Denver Broncos haven't made the playoffs in 8 years, I wouldn't give these 8 years back. Well, I wouldn't give the Super Bowl title from Super Bowl 50, Peyton's last year. I wouldn't give that back, DeMarcus Ware's last year. I wouldn't give that back for them to have made the playoffs just for the sake of making the playoffs in the last 8 years. Nah. Super Bowls or championships of any sort, they are worth their weight in gold.
I agree with that. You know what? That's why I get on Dave Roberts a lot, because they can win 100 games out there, and they have not won a thing except for the COVID year.
Kevin Costner and James Earl Jones right now in the scene where Costner pretends to have a gun in his coat. Remember that?
Yes.
And he marches into this guy's apartment where he's reading, and James has a fit over him. He's going to like throw things at him. Anyway, pretending to have a gun. And he comes after him with a golf club. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page. Yes, I'm doing play-by-play of Field of Dreams. Here's our latest sports update. Oh, it wasn't a golf club. It's a crowbar. It's a crowbar. Here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, and with the detainment of Tyreek Hill on Sunday still very much at the forefront, officer was immediately placed on administrative duties while the police union looking for his immediate reinstatement. Now, Tyreek has made his displeasure with the situation clear, and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, was on the Dan Le Batard show making it clear he's not just looking for administrative duties, he wants him fired for his actions.
There's no place for a police officer to have a badge that operates like that when Tyreek wasn't being aggressive or violent or fighting back in any capacity.
Elsewhere, Adrian Peterson has been ordered by a Houston judge to turn over numerous assets in order to repay a debt estimated to be worth more than $12 million. Issue stems from a loan taken out in 2016. Steelers with a surprise road victory on Sunday behind Justin Fields, making the start for the injured Russell Wilson. Head coach Mike Tomlin gave an update on how Wilson and his quarterback situation is going.
He feels better today than he did over the weekend. And so what that means, I don't know as we sit here today. I know that we're going to take the same approach that we take with a lot of people in terms of injury. We'll first start with his participation and his level of participation.
So Tomlin not naming a starter just yet, but did say they'll prepare with the idea that Fields will remain as the starter. Baseball, the Cubs double up the Dodgers 6-3, 7 strong from Shota Imanaga. Pair of homers for Trey Turner. The Phillies overwhelmed the Rays 9-4. Reds blanked the Cardinals 3-0. Twins overpowered the Angels 10-5. Braves put a beatdown on the Nationals 12-0 as Michael Harris went deep twice. Pirates stopped the Marlins 6-4. Seth Lugo, 7 innings of 3-hit ball with 10 Ks. Royals silenced the Yankees 5-0. Brewers held off the Giants 3-2. Padres dealt the Mariners 7-3. Manny Machado went deep, drove in 4. Blue Jays beat the Mets 6-2. Guardians bounced the White Sox 5-0. D-backs shut down the Rangers 6-0 as Christian Walker homered twice. Orioles handled the Red Sox 5-3. A's able to outlast the Astros 4-3-12, and the Tigers punched the Rockies 11-0. And 4X Michigan players, including former quarterback Denard Robinson and wide receiver Braylon Edwards, have filed a class action lawsuit against the NCAA and the Big Ten Network, seeking more than $50 million for wrongfully and unlawfully denying the opportunity to earn money off their NIL. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
The pitch. Oh, it plunked him. Castellanos points out at Uceda, and now he tosses away his wrist guard. He's pointing out at him, and everybody is coming towards the mound. Harper came at Uceda from behind. And everybody comes running out of the dugout. And Harper trying to be restrained by Brandon Marsh.
Yeah, you got to make sure you don't get thrown out here.
Harper's already got enough going on with his elbow and his wrist. Don't need anybody throwing haymakers here as everybody gathered, both teams, behind the pitcher's mound.
I mean, that's no question. He's got to go.
Little brouhaha that some on social media determined was right as the presidential debate was starting. And no, I'm not about to talk politics, so don't even worry about it, or don't ask me to, either way. Castellanos gets plunked by a pitch on kind of his hip area. It may have even been behind him a little bit. And he took exception to it with Uceda immediately. Started barking and jawing and gesturing. And before long, Bryce Harper's right in the middle of things, of course. And then it was up to Castellanos to actually pull Bryce Harper away. So this was a strongly worded conversation. Didn't see any pitches. There was a pitch thrown. Didn't see any fisticuffs thrown. No one got stitches. I don't know if anyone turned into bitches. I just know that that it was baseball's version of a fracas, if you will. And Bryce Harper, of course, you need to talk about it afterward.
It's not the game that we play, man. It shouldn't be. I mean, guys throw too hard nowadays. You're getting mad because a guy, you know, hits a homer off here. You blow the lead. Walk the guy and come out of the game. I mean, what are you going to do? It's just the situation, the whole thing. Just really fired me up, really upset me. Just not something that you should accept as Major League Baseball.
Well, and it was right after Harper had doubled, thinking he had a home run. And actually, if you watch, he does the trot. He does the home run trot around before they call it back because of fan interference. And so it was the very next pitcher that you say to hit, which was Castellanos. And he was ejected from the game, the pitcher. And then you end up seeing the Phillies get the last laugh. They have a couple more home runs. And they're able to add to their win total, which right now is sitting at 87, despite the fact that Harper has zero home runs in Philadelphia since late July. Yeah, they are now sitting on 87 wins, which is a season high for them in terms of how far they are above 500. So right now they're 29 games over 500, which is the tops for them this season. So we'll see if this continues against the Rays. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line always. Coming up in our third hour, so now not even 2 hours away, you get to ask Amy anything. And so we'd love for you to submit your questions on our show Twix at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. Producer Pete will have his second opportunity. And last week we went back and forth. Are you feeling good about handling this on your own?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. So all different methods. For instance, Manny used to write all the questions out by hand. Manny also enjoyed answering the questions to the point where I finally had to tell them this is not ask Manny anything. So that was Manny. I think Jay printed them out on a piece of paper. I've had others who had just read them off the screen and also varying degrees of organization. So me, I'm anal retentive. I organize to the hilt. I have a method to my madness, if you will. It's how I do my preparation. If you've never seen my NFL note cards, oh my. That's how I keep everything straight, though. If I don't have them, if I don't write stuff down, maybe at some point I will share a photo of my NFL cards. They're color coordinated. Every week's got a different color for the first 6 weeks. Anyway, I'm wondering about the methods to your madness and how you plan to approach Ask Amy Anything.
I think this week we're going to try screens. We're going to use
screens.
One screen's going to have the Facebook, the other screen's going to have X up.
Now, are you planning on doing them by category? So Jay would do food, and then he would do animals, and he would do travel, then he would do wedding/marriage questions, then he would do personal questions. We never, hardly ever did sports questions.
No, I'm not going to break it up by category. I think it takes away some of the surprise appeal.
Surprise element?
Yes.
All right. So it's producer Pete's way of asking Amy anything. One more baseball before we get to the top of the hour and a little Green Bay Packers talk. Atlanta and Washington doing battle.
Michael Harris strokes one to deep right field. That one is back to the wall and out of here. That's into the bullpen. Hit very well off the bat of Michael Harris.
This was a bloodbath. Again, the Nationals are used to this, but the Braves, who are about to hit 80 wins and are hanging in, even with the red hot Mets in that NL East, 15 hits, a dozen runs for the Braves in this one. Almost feel like saying, hey, maybe save some of those for when you desperately need them. 4 home runs for the Braves in this game as well. I don't know when it's the right time to start scoreboard watching. I'm not sure that people are as nerdy about it as I am. But I will say in the National League East, the Mets and Braves are deadlocked for second place behind the Phillies. Now, they're unlikely to catch the Phillies. Right now, it's an 8-game cushion for the best team in baseball. But if you're looking at the National League wildcard standings, this is where it really comes into play. Mets and Braves are right now tied for the third wild card, which means if they remain this way throughout the regular season, there would have to be some type of a play-in for the playoff, correct? They don't do tiebreakers. If you have the same exact record after 162 games, screw tiebreakers. Let's play another one. Why not?
They have a series coming up. Mets have a series with the Braves coming up.
So Mets and Braves right now, the exact same record. Are you ready for this? I can do simple math in my head. They have both played 145 games, which means they've got 17 to go. That's it. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. It might be time to start looking at standings on a nightly basis. All right, coming up, what do we know about Malik Willis, who will be quarterbacking the Packers this weekend? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.